call 514-739-7944. More information at blacktheaterworkshop.ca. This is a Black Theater Workshop and Prairie Theater Exchange co-production and CKUT co-presentation.
What's up, everyone? What's up with Work Lately's back for our last episode of the year? Today we got a special treat. The theme is Calgary. We'll be interviewing one of our co-workers from the Calgary office. Been in the nonprofit sector for a good while since she got out of university. She was a special treat, and also we'll be talking about our giving campaign, and then we'll be finishing off with some interesting facts about Calgary, as well as playing music from our Calgary artists, like the one we just heard. Song from Moonrunner 83, 80s Love. I love that track, and I think we have more great tracks to play. And thank you for joining us today.
Crash land does it off. It's a free for all, free to laugh, free to mourn upon the spinning ball. And every day is something new, something old, something hard, and something easy too. Through the faults, you can find the truth. Through your thoughts, through experience, it's what you do. Consistently you see a change, from the top to the bottom to the next page. Think of life as amazing, not a metal cage. Take a pen, write your play, and then you take the stage. It might not be a perfect script. Things you've written down, they might reverse and start to flip. Flexibility survives, it means we must adapt. Reject the fiction in your narrative and face the facts.
My physical frame is celebrated cause I made it.
I see by the mountains, by the hills, and by the open sea, by the fields, by the roads, and by the sloping trees, by the heat, by the cold, and by the frozen, please. Windchill factor, but life a never ending story. I'll get a chapter, and they call me a rapper. But once a simple baby had to find what I was after, that's the path I had to choose. Time is shorter than we think, so what I had to lose, nothing really. I felt I had a right to dream and see some places that most peace from here have never seen. Finding balance, that's the key. You need adventure, but there's sometimes when you need routine. Slowing down and speeding up, it's a time of giving up. Appreciate the gift, the mystery, we live it up.
I made it. My physical frame is celebrated cause I made it.
All right, thanks for that. That was Rotations by Tarek Robinson, some solid bars. And join with me today, I'm with my coworkers, Mariam and Charlie. How y'all doing?
Good.
Hi, Emil. Good. This is episode 4, before the holidays, last episode of the season.
Yeah, best for last.
Best for last, Calgary. Last week we did a bit of Vancouver, and we got to talk to Patrice about young people in Vancouver and what challenges work culture faces. So we're hoping kind of to get some perspective from Alyssa Sikam, a fellow youth in Calgary. How's Montreal this week for you two?
Freezing.
Okay.
Yeah, it is pretty cold, but we're still motivated to come to work every day. Well, at least I'm really motivated. I'm not sure if y'all are still motivated.
No, we're clearly not motivated.
I'm a little unmotivated. How's work been for you guys?
Oh, it's been all right. I'm still looking forward to the holidays, so things are slowing down a little bit, but still having fun. How about you guys?
Survey has been slow to be filled out, so we're hoping to get our research done by the end of the work year. And I am also absolutely beat and looking for the holidays. What about you, Charlie?
I'm exhausted. exhausted is a very small word to describe that, but the snow doesn't help. Surveys are very slow. We did have a decent focus group a couple weeks ago, and that was cute. That was very cute.
The Pan-Asian Collective.
Pan-Asian Collective, like, we had some good discussions with them and they were pretty helpful, and you know, you should check them out, check out their events, and meet some great people and serve a good cause. So shout out to them.
Playing us in here is Cyan Alcorn, an artist based in Calgary, Alberta, and we'll be doing our interview right after.
Alyssa. Hey, we're back. We're here with Alyssa. Thank you for joining us. How are you doing this morning?
Hi, Emil. Good morning. Good morning. My name is Alyssa, and I'm doing just fine. How are ya?
Great.
Alyssa, where are you calling us from?
I'm calling from Calgary, Alberta.
Right. Now, tell us about, like your experience working with Useful Cities as well as living in Calgary.
Okay, I don't know where to start. Maybe I'll start with Useful Cities, okay? I love it here. First, I love what this company stands for. I love the youth initiative side, social innovation. I'm into it. The people that I work alongside with, intelligent people, and I find that a lot of them are impact-driven. And, yeah, I didn't think I'd see myself in this space, but everything that I've doing right now, or most of the things that I'm doing right now, I enjoy it, and it's one of those jobs. I think it's the first jobs that I actually wake up excited to go to every day. So that's just me. I don't know if you guys, I don't want to speak for everyone here, but I am having a good time.
What is your role there?
Here.
Huh? What is your role there?
Oh, yeah. I'm the CEO. I'm just kidding. I am a research and outreach coordinator. And for the past few weeks, I worked alongside my analyst, Emma. She's amazing. We've been doing a lot of collaborative work, building partnerships, and looking at youth organizations, may it be from the city, may it be like post-secondary clubs. And yeah, we're learning a lot from the city just through those meetings.
Yeah, and have you gotten a different perspective on your city?
Yeah, I would say before, that's actually a good question, because before, I didn't think Calgary was as dynamic as compared to what I'm seeing now. Meeting all these organizations, I understand that there's a lot of people doing work similar to us, not just in the youth space, but also in serving equity, the serving group. So I find that through them, I get really inspired and admiring their work, and just having that drive to have an impact in certain groups is really admirable. And I see people who are doing stuff outside their day jobs, who are advocating for certain groups, and who are leading certain organizations, nonprofit ones. And I'm seeing that these are the people who want to see change in Calgary, and who want to see change in individuals' perceptions of Calgary, because we're not, as some people might think, we're not just the regular yee-haw cowboy people. We're not all working in oil and gas. Some of us believe in social change. Some of us are advocates for change and for the better. And unfortunately, we're going through some crises right now, housing being one of them, affordability being one of them, and seeing that there's organizations that are offering help for example, people who are living below the basic income and not meeting their needs. It's commendable, for sure. Yeah.
Thank you for that. Now, I've got a few questions for you. First thing, I noticed that Calgary has both a great surplus of interprovincial migration, and also I saw a stat that 1 in 3 people in Calgary identify as immigrants. So with that said, how has Calgary's diverse population influenced the youth culture in the city?
Yeah, I noticed that too. There's only a couple people that I've met in Calgary that are from Calgary, and their parents and the generations before them are from Calgary. But yeah, I think that influence in the youth, I think one, it brings perspective, and two, it drives participation in youth. So first, the perspective, right? Calgary comprises of friendly people. It's a welcoming place for people to call home, wherever you come from, whatever background that you have. I think our city, like I said before, is community driven. And since each person brings in different backgrounds, I think that this broadens the horizons of young people's perspective, and it fosters a more global outlook. Like I said, I rarely meet a person who is from Calgary. And those immigrants, I think, especially their children, they understand the sacrifices that their parents endured to make it to Canada and settle themselves into a new country. So I think there's a shared value among those groups of immigrants. And I think it's a desire to make their parents' sacrifices meaningful and to reciprocate the efforts invested by their parents, because how do you pay that forward, right? I think one of the main things is for children to succeed or make it in their career so that they can pay it back to their parents. And another thing that I said was, sorry, what's that?
I was just agreeing with you, sorry.
Yeah, agree with me. I love that. I love validation. and another one is participation, is that because we are a diverse population, I think it compels the city to be receptive and accommodating to specific groups or communities. And this encourages engagement from individuals who find representation within these groups. There's an abundance of options. There's groups that offer youth myriad of opportunities to participate, may it be various ethnic groups, religious groups, or just common interest groups. And there's just no shortage of community when a person can't find a reflection of themselves. So, yeah.
Thank you for that. I like the vision that you describe of like collaboration and collectivity.
Mm-hmm.
And on that next note, with the talking about representation, I did notice recently Calgary had a strong growth of the young Aboriginal population. So I want to know, what are your thoughts on the city's performance in representing the interests of this demographic?
Yeah, I don't think we're at a level where I want us to be. I don't think our performance is that great. I think Calgary, given that a lot of us are immigrants, we go in here not knowing, not fully understanding what the Canadian history is, for one. And people who are from here, I think they're still in the process of understanding and embracing the Indigenous perspective, particularly listening to their narratives, humbling themselves, and meeting the Indigenous people where they're at. I still think that Calgary tries. Like, we have a museum that specifically showcases the history of Canadian culture in the Indigenous lens. But I think currently our community is grappling with the enduring impact of residential schools. And even though these individuals may not have directly experienced the trauma, I think they're now navigating the effects of residential schools through their parents. And just looking at our statistics from the Aboriginal Standing Committee, it's estimated that 21 to 38% of Indigenous people and families are homeless in Calgary, and they struggle with addiction in relation to intergenerational trauma. And as a community, we still struggle to get the most vulnerable off the streets, and there's still not enough resources and programs to address this growing need. So, unfortunately, I am not seeing tangible results from the programs and resources that are out there to address the specific results, but from what you said, if there are growing youth that participate in our city, I think that's great. My only instance that I witnessed active participation in the Aboriginal or the Indigenous group was when I was in university, and there's certain clubs that cater to them and that that hold events for them and opens it to everyone. So that's my thought.
Yeah, thank you for that. It seems like even if they're making some movements, there's still a long way to go, and it's going to be a long fought battle. And, you know, we'll keep at it, and Youthful Cities will try to help in any way it can.
Exactly. And sorry, just to add to that, there's a stark contrast to the Indigenous priorities, which is particularly environmental activism, and being in a province that has this economic landscape dominated by the oil and gas sector, there's a significant tension, I think. And I think it's key for us to resolve these disparities. I don't think it's going to happen in a few years. I think it's going to take a long time for Calgary to do that shift. But I think just recognizing that and taking decisive actions rather than having empty promises for these groups, I think as non-Indigenous individuals, we have that privilege, and we should speak out. We should actively engage with these groups and meet them where they are. Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you for that. When you mentioned oil and gas, it made me wonder, how does social and environmental issues affect the activism and awareness among Calgary's youth?
That's a great segue, Emil. I'm clapping for you for that one. Mostly right now, there are growing groups that focus on environmental activism. But right now, I think also since the pandemic, there's more social issues that we've seen that unify the youth. I think social issues bring people together. Recently, I've observed a heightened awareness and focus on social issues with a notable surge in passion for youth activism in Calgary. It was particularly evident during the Black Lives Matter protests. I think this prompted individuals to critically examine Canada as well, because we don't have as clean slate as we thought we had. And I think looking at Canada's historical narrative, including the resurgence of discussions around residential schools, was one thing that really sparked the interest of the young people. And I think in response to existing systems, people employ various means to express their frustrations, especially in social media. It's like, I don't know if you guys were aware, but sometimes there's people calling out people who are quote unquote silent during social issues that matter, when, you know, there's horrific things that are happening and that we're witnessing on social media. And many of us view this as an opportunity to delve into histories, not just Canada's history, but other countries' history that are going through, you know, a lot right now. And the excuse of, quote unquote, I didn't know or I don't know, it's no longer considered acceptable. And I commend the youth in Calgary, because they really have this willingness to vocalize their truths and their opinions. There's also impact-driven youth groups that research during these times, such as Action Dignity. I think these organizations play a significant role in amplifying voices of the youth and fostering a climate where speaking out is encouraged.
Yes, thank you for that. Now, one thing you did mention is plenty of people there are speaking out on their social media or any ways they can to get more virality and get more engagement. So I want to know, in your opinion, how has technology and social media affected Calgary's youth dynamics?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly. There is a robust connection that exists between youth and technology, and this connection manifests in many ways. I think now, like I said, for many young people, social media serves as the primary source for news, and essentially it's becoming an alternative search engine. Mm. Like, for example, if I wanted to know about the certain topic, I will look it up on TikTok or Twitter. Or one time I was watching Squid Games, and I wanted to search about this player because I saw a certain type of way, I guess, the player, and I looked it up on Twitter, and I was like, does everyone else feel the same, or is it just me? Or even, like, news-wise, like, am I the only one, like, shocked by what's happening in Palestine? Things like that. I looked that up, but beyond all of that, I think, like I said, social media has also evolved into a platform for activism. There's numerous political movements that have gained momentum by sharing events and information on these platforms. And there's, like I said, protests, organizers, activists, they utilize social media to capture people's attention, particularly regarding injustices, because that's where the youth are. And if you want to reach youth, that's where you go, social media. And also, I think regarding mental health, it's easier to compare yourself in social media. And I think it affects youth a lot because they see someone else's highlight that they misconstrue as an interpretation of the overall reality, which isn't always true. And this leads to feelings of inadequacy or a sense of not measuring up, because you constantly compare yourself to, you know, content creators who achieve viral success at a young age, or maybe the same age as you or younger. And this potentially fuels questions about one's own life trajectory, which I don't think it's fair, but I see it happen time and again, at least in Calgary. But on a lighter note, I think that there's a lot of language that is derived from social media, and it seamlessly integrates into daily communication with terms such as, you know, slay or sheesh, and then, you know, I got the riz, and things like that. And it becomes woven into everyday conversation, right? But these youth, they're entering the workforce, and they come in with this language, and they're not sure how to frame themselves or how to portray themselves into the workforce when they know that this is how they communicate, right? So to them, just saying things like, hi, how are you? It's very formal. So, yeah, I think that some of the ways that social media has affected youth in Calgary.
It's funny that you say that, because at our focus group a couple weeks ago, somebody mentioned how the expectations on how people would have to behave at work are not explained, and that somebody who comes from a different background was not taught these expectations, and, you know, there's a way to speak, mm-hmm. there's a way to behave and to be dressed and to communicate with people in the work environment. And so that's a subject that came up at that focus group, and how it was disturbing, right? And it could cause mm-hmm. like conflict at work, or just a feeling of being uncomfortable, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, definitely, because there's a question of, well, I know I can't talk to my manager the same way I talk to my friends, but also, what does it look like? What is that dynamic supposed to look like when I engage with my manager or with my just colleagues? What does professionalism look like?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think that topic in itself is evolving, because there's a lot of Gen Z's entering the workforce now, right?
Yeah.
So it's definitely a good point.
Yeah. I also think young people, back to your activism piece, tend to be a little more anti-hierarchical in a way that is actually finally breaking systems. But sorry, Charlie. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was just going to add, because somebody else said something during that focus group that kind of can be related to what you said, Alyssa, which is... Mm-hmm. What is a communication, like me talking with my manager, supposed to look like, right? How is this supposed to be?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody was very intensely convicted on the fact that it should be explained, and we should have complete transparency on what the expectations of the company we're applying to is.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So if, let's say, this company expects me to wear like a suit and tie and speak in the languages of my grandparents when I'm talking to my manager, this should be explained and said completely transparently during the interview process or before, right? Or if it's a company
yeah.
where it's chill and you can express yourself however you are, and there's understanding that generations are different and everybody communicates differently, then that also should be mm-hmm. told. I was just thinking about that because of what you said.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's our responsibility to help our new hires to integrate into the culture, because how are they going to know
mm-hmm.
what they know, right? Mm-hmm.
But the culture
should be... just better to prepare them.
Well, there yeah. needs to be an onboarding process. I think that's really important. And those terms aren't even that universal, right? So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah, on a lighter subject, legend has it that you found out about this job through TikTok.
Wow. Who's this legend?
Valor, yeah.
Oh, wow. Look at you.
Career bestie.
Yeah, that yeah, is
shout
true.
Out to her.
Jessica Lee, she's coming to the summit, I think.
What did I tell you? I use social media for a lot of things, and one of them, I guess, is career. And I didn't really expect to get a call back from Youthful Cities, because I just... when I look at that account, so there's this account called Hello Career Bestie, and yeah, she says she usually promotes companies who have remote positions where Canadians can work anywhere.
Mm.
So I was like, oh, she has something. Youthful Cities, I've never heard of that, but I'm going to check them out. And I actually liked what I saw on the website. So I was like, maybe I'll check that out. And then I got a call. I did not expect to get a call.
Well,
no.
Look at you now.
Here I am.
Yeah, so overall we can say that even though there are some good practical ways to use the social media, it does have its downside, so we need to be a bit moderate with our usage as well as know where to get our good information, especially in terms of activism, because, you know, we're bombarded by a lot of different perspectives and sides, so it's hard to decide. But
it's also important to remember that we are in Canada and that there is this information ban right now on everything Meta, right?
Well, yes, actually, now that you mention it, I will talk about that because it's all over CKUT's airwaves, is that news is not, like, CKUT is a radio station. It's a campus and community radio station. So McGill students and Montrealers all, like, make up the 300 people active network here. And the Meta ban on Canadian media organizations has meant that we are not on Instagram, we are not on Facebook right now. So you can follow CKUT Music Department for all things CKUT. That's our Instagram right now, or the Youthful Cities Instagram. But yeah, this Meta news ban on Canada has actually affected a lot of journalism.
Wow. Even some of the journalists that I follow, because they're in the places where things are actively happening, have been banned as well. Their accounts have been banned. Sometimes it worries me, like, are they still okay? Or, like, are they still doing their job? And, like, who's reporting them? Like, who's doing this to their social media accounts? I don't know.
Yeah. No, the journalists right now, they're very brave.
But, you know, that feeds into the next question pretty well on the topic of censorship and banning of expression. Like, what are the challenges and opportunities for creative expression within Calgary's youth culture?
I think there are a lot of opportunities right now for Calgarians. Like I said, the city is receptive, not receptive, but they're open to opinions. They're open to having youth vocalize their thoughts. But to me, as an immigrant in this country, it's even surprising that you can speak out your thoughts and your views and how the government, or not even just governments, but how whatever's happening in the world, like, you have a say, and whatever you say will not be taken against you, or you will not be imprisoned for it. I think that Calgary still has challenges in some sense, where there's certain social issues that we are more engaged in, if that makes sense. And then there's other issues that we're like, well, that can wait another day, or, well, you know, it's been ongoing, so what really can we do right now? Yeah, that's my thoughts on Calgary. Like, let me just say, I don't want to say that people are going to these protests or sharing their opinions on social media or voicing out their thoughts for clout, but I think that there's certain issues that get more attention than others because it's garnered attention internationally. Like, for example, the BLM movement, right? There's at least 90% of the people in my network, in my social media, are active. But when there's other things like the Indigenous, I don't know. I don't think it gets the same traction because we say that excuse that, well, you know, it's not happening right now. Or, well, I wasn't a part of the problem. So I don't think it's a pressing issue right now. But we're reaping the repercussions of the past. And I think we can be part of the solution. Or us immigrants, most of us have been colonized. Most of us have been under someone else's rule. And isn't it great that we're out right now? Isn't it great that we're not experiencing that trial right now? So maybe we can help others and, you know, give them that platform.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. got a lot of talent in that community, and they have important things to say, so let's hear them say it.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Alyssa.
Thank you for having me. This is such an amazing opportunity that you guys have for youth to have their opinions and to give them a platform.
Yeah.
AKA I'm youth.
Yes, as a youth and a Calgarian, I didn't realize that was the demonym. That's kind of dope. Yeah, but that's so fun to hear your perspectives. And we did Vancouver last time, we're doing Calgary this time, and then after, in the new year, we're going to be doing Toronto and then circle back to Montreal. Alyssa, you want to tell us a little bit about the summit as well, just as a last piece?
For Vancouver?
For Calgary.
Calgary. Yes, right now we have a two-day summit. It's happening on February 21st to 22nd in our open learning lab in downtown. This is powered by a professor in MRU. It's a nonprofit, and he's giving us the space to hold our summit. So basically, it's a wonderful way for together delegates and young individuals who are civically minded and who are aware of social issues that are happening within their city, and those who want to ideate and generate ideas that can help their city and, provide city-level solutions.
Awesome.
Come join us. What are you waiting for?
Absolutely.
Come and reach out to us.
Hop on in.
Vivian@beautifulcities.com.
She put back her advertising mask on.
Good, good. That's right. And more generally to our listeners, if you are a youth in Calgary, Vancouver, Toronto, or Montreal, or you know youth that need to have more representation at a solution summit on the city level like this, please look us up at Youthful Cities. Alyssa, thank you so, so much for joining us today for this interview.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
for the rest of your day.
It's a pleasure to be here. I will never hang up this phone.
Okay,
I want to be a part of it. You know, every day I wake up and I'm like, that's the only thing I wish that changed about my job. Is one day I woke up and I was a part of the Montreal team. And my gosh, if you're listening to this, no offense, I love you guys. I just want to go to Montreal.
Aww. We love you, Alyssa. Bye now.
What?
Bye.
Bye.
See you.
See you soon.
Bye. I still recording.
Playing us in after our interview with Alyssa is Calgary's Isaac Gaines, Dance of Contradictions, some free jazz.
You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM. This is What's Up With Work Lately. Was Isaac Gaines's Dance of Contradictions for all you free jazz fanatics out there. We're going to stick to our theme of regular Calgary music. We're going to play BSD.U, which is a bit more lo-fi. I found them on Bandcamp. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
You just heard BSD.U's Wind track. This is Mariam. I'm going to be signing off alone as we pre-recorded this episode. Thank you so much for listening to our fourth installment of the What's Up With Work Lately series that we're doing here at CKUT. We're doing this as part of our Dev Labs project. So we are a social impact organization, a social enterprise, and we bring young people all across urban Canada together and talk about skills and the needs of a city to be a better place for young people, whether they are entering the workforce, transitioning from one occupation to another, or just navigating being in the 16 to 29 population. We want to hear from you, the listeners, Montrealers, and anyone across Canada. We want to hear you fill out our survey, so you can find that on our website, youthfulcities.com/devlab/youth-workforce-survey. You can also find it by just going to youthfulcities.com and clicking around. Your hosts today were, as usual, myself and the lovely Charlie and Emile, Charlie Cartier and Emile Gouin. They make up our city team here in Montreal. So please fill out the survey, and if you haven't applied for our Youth Summit, that's happening March 25th in Montreal, a month before that in Calgary, and first of all, next year, we are kicking off with our national summit in Vancouver. That will be January 29th in Vancouver, that the entire Youthful Cities team and 60 delegates from all over Canada, including Montreal and Iqaluit, will be here with us. And that's our Calgary show. We'll be back in the new year with more content, more cities, and more youthful cities. Listening to BSD.U Calgary Music. Next up, Hoodie Weather One.
take it back because I know the cash rules. Everything around me, two clock times. Any motherfucker whispering about mine. And time, Brooklyn's titles.
When you hear the words mental illness, what do you think?
I have friends who don't even know that I suffer from depression.
Why don't they know?
Because I'm scared they'll ostracize me if they know, and then they'll abandon me. I don't want to be alone.
You're discriminated against when you have a mental illness. With other illnesses, there's compassion.
It doesn't take much to be diagnosed mentally ill.
Due to an outburst, I was diagnosed paranoid schizophrenic. And now the doctors say it's something else.
20% of people and counting have had or will have a depression.
People throw different labels around. You're this or you're that.
Everybody psychoanalyzes someone during a conversation.
You have a right to express emotions.
Anger, love, hate, sadness, confusion. It does not mean you're ill.
If you're down and out, seek help. Don't be scared. It can be very intimidating.
There are people listening and willing to help.
We have to innovate.
Get informed. Contact your local CLSC, Sun Youth, Amy Quebec, Ford House, or Prevention Suicide.
The Prison Radio Show is a twice-monthly news show on CKUT. The show seeks to confront the invisibility of prisons and prisoner struggles by focusing on the roots of incarceration, policing, and criminalization, and by challenging ideas about what prisons are and who ends up inside. We have been running a phone line for prisoners and their outside supporters for the last couple years, and the phone number has recently changed. You can now reach us at 438-858-6116. We would like to thank Fed Phone Line for providing us with this number for free. They wanted us to tell you that they help save money to inmates, family, and friends by reducing the cost of collect calls. For more information about their company, you can go to fedphoneline.com. So again, our new number is 438-858-6116. You can call us collect from Bordeaux Prison and Riviere de Prairie Prison at that number. As always, we're an all-volunteer collective and don't always manage to answer the phone. If you can leave a message, please do. If you're calling collect and we don't pick up, try again next time you can get to the phone. And again, our phone number is 438-858-6116, and you can call us collect from Riviere de Prairie Prison or Bordeaux Prison.
Êtes-vous locataire à Montréal? Avez-vous des questions sur vos droits? Votre comité logement peut vous aider. Pour trouver le comité logement pour votre quartier ou pour plus de ressources, visitez le www.rclalq.qc.ca.
Are you a tenant in Montreal? Do you have questions about your rights? Your local housing committee can help. To find the housing committee for your neighborhood or for more resources, go to www.rclalq.qc.ca.
What up? This is Ludacris, and you're listening to CKUT.
Bonsoir, merci d'être à l'écoute. Vous êtes avec Nathalie Dupalma pour la prochaine heure. Notre invitée a passé une grande partie de sa vie à se faire dire « Sois belle et tais-toi ». Et je suis très heureuse qu'Ève Salvaille ait accepté de nous parler de son autobiographie « Sois-toi et t'es belle » publiée aux Éditions de l'Homme. Dans son livre, de manière très lucide, elle nous présente les différents personnages qui se sont greffés à elle au cours du temps. Son personnage le plus connu est sans aucun doute cette magnifique mannequin, avant-gardiste et audacieuse, qui a réussi à faire une carrière internationale avec le crâne rasé et tatoué. Il faut une beauté unique et beaucoup de cran pour oser ce look au début des années 90 et réussir à révolutionner le concept de beauté au sein de l'industrie de la mode. Bonsoir, Ève Salvaille.
Allô?
T'as grandi à Matane, en Gaspésie. T'as eu la chance d'être adoptée par des parents artistes. Adolescente, t'avais un mohawk sur la tête quand tes amis t'ont mis au défi de participer à un concours de mannequin pour un magazine Clin d'œil. Et comme tu adores les défis, t'as laissé pousser tes cheveux, tu t'es inscrite au concours. T'as été sélectionnée parmi plus de 3000 filles et t'as gagné le prix Photogénie à ce concours. Est-ce que de gagner le concours t'a donné envie de faire ce métier-là?
Ah, très bonne question. Je ne sais pas, oui, j'étais curieuse de voir si j'allais aller plus loin. Puis de gagner le prix Photogénie me donnait déjà un contrat d'un an avec une grosse agence à Montréal de